A new year has started, and with a new year, we talked about 2 weeks ago, people make resolutions, make changes, plans. You see, we're going to also be facing challenges. If you're not facing challenges right now, get ready, you will. You see, in many areas, you face challenges in the economy, you face challenges as a family, perhaps you're going to have some parenting challenges to do, you're going to have some educational challenges that you had to face. Relational challenges. I mean, so many challenges that you're gonna come face to face, and you might not even know how to overcome them. I mean, one of the greatest challenges that we Americans in our nation we're gonna face this year is to decide who do we want for president. I mean, people, you see on Facebook, you can tell on Facebook whether somebody's Republican or Democrat because they posting things and, you know, they attack certain candidates. You might have to decide who you want to be your next president for the next 4 years. And that's one of the biggest challenges we're going to have as a nation this year. People still have not made up their minds because sometimes they made it for this one and then they hear that person talk and then all of a sudden like, oh, maybe he should not be the one or she should not be the one. Challenges all over the place. We face challenges in ministry. And if you are at a church, you are involved in a ministry, you will face challenges in ministry. In the service to God and the things you want to do for the Lord, there's always going to be challenges. For preachers, whether you're a preacher or not, you will face challenges. Now, the good news is, despite the challenges we face, the Bible will give us guidance into how we can overcome certain challenges. The Word of God will give us insight in how we can prepare ourselves better to tackle such challenges when they come, because they will come. It's like the faith that Mark was talking about. How are you going? Faith challenges we're going to have. Trials are going to come, and your faith is going to be tested, challenged to the core. And if you're not rock solid, you will stumble and fall. Every service, every ministry in a church will face challenges, like I said. Now, when you go back into the book of Acts in the first century, the church was birthed at the preaching of the apostles. Jesus already told them, said, go and make disciples, multiply yourself. By the preaching of the apostles, the church was birthed about 33-34 AD. Peter, James, John, they were preaching. Acts 2, it says that there were a group of about 3,000 people who came to the Lord because Peter said, they asked Peter, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he will forgive your sins, and he will give you the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 people came, and that's how the church was birthed. Now, the church started predominantly Jewish. A lot of Jewish people in our society, they would tell you and me that the New Testament is a Gentile book. They don't even know what they're talking about, because when you investigate, all those people who started the church were Jewish. Peter was Jewish, James, John, all of them. The church started with the Jewish community in Acts 2. And then Satan tried to do something, because that's what happens. When you want to get closer to God, Satan would just, he goes around trying to stop you. Satan tried to stop the preaching of the gospel using something we call persecution. Now, you might say that we are persecuted in America. Perhaps we are in a sense, but we're not persecuted in the same way that those Christians were being persecuted, because they were being dragged out of their house, they were being tortured, they were being, and some of them even got killed because of the name of Jesus. So we have not seen that type of persecution in our country yet. I mean, people might not like you because you say Jesus. People might not like you to say, I mean, that's a type of persecution, but not like they had it. And despite that, Satan tried to use the outside influence, persecution, authorities, leaders, to stop the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But newsflash, you will not stop the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the kind of God that we're worshiping. And Satan lost because he thought, if I persecute him, if I make their lives miserable, they're going to stop talking about Jesus. And that just helped the cause of the gospel. They did not stop. They continued praising Jesus, and more people were coming to the Lord. Now the gospel was expanding to Hellenistic people. Hellenistic is Jewish people that spoke mainly Greek. Now, when you go to chapter 6, we have the first problem in the church. You know, there's no church without problems. You know that, right? A lot of times people say, I don't want to go to church because they're hypocrites. Join the party. You know, it's like, I mean, there's no perfect churches. We have to get that through our heads. That's why we get here, because it's like a hospital. We need his help. We need his grace daily. The first problem arises in chapter 6, because now the group is so large. We have Jewish people. We have Hellenistic Jews. In other words, they were Jews, but they were more Greek in their culture. And so there was a complaint. I guess church people don't complain, right? There was a complaint that came, and that could have divided the church. Let's just go there. Acts chapter 6. Because what Satan is doing now, he's attacking the church from within. You see, persecution could not stop it. He said, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sit down there, and I'm going to provoke people to not like each other for whatever reason. That's what he does. And he attacks the church from within, because he realized, if I can just get in there and ruffle your feathers, then I win. Satan, you see, outside did not work. So he said, let me just go in with them. You know, that's a strategy. People use that. Like, join the enemy so you get to know more about them. And then, oh, I got you now. So Acts 6, let's see what the Word of God says to us this morning. The church was growing. Now, one thing about growth, when you experience growth, there's also going to be a lot of challenges. With great power comes great responsibility. Uncle Ben told Peter Parker. With great growth comes great challenges. I mean, look at how the passage starts. In those days, chapter 6, Acts chapter 6. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. That's what we are informed. If you have your Bibles, NIV, it will say the choosing of the 7. You might have a title in that paragraph right there. The first thing that Luke informs us, Luke is the writer here, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the church was expanding, more people were coming to the Lord. There's growth, numerical growth. In those days, then the Grecian, the Hellenistic, you have a different version, it would say Hellenistic Jews complain about the Hebrews, Hebraic Jews. In other words, it would be the Greek-speaking Jews complain about the Hebrew-speaking Jews. And I have it right there so that you can have a better understanding. Depending on the version you're reading, it might give you a better insight. It might give you an understanding who we're talking about. So we have two different type of people, in a sense, like by culture. One spoke more Hebrew, the other one spoke more Greeks, and there were more Greeks in their culture. How they did things, it was more Greeks. Great thing happening in the church. The church was growing. But when you experience growth, with more people you get, you're also going to deal with more personality issues, more preferences issues. I mean, the more people you get, I mean, you know, sometimes they're going to feel entitled to doing to certain things, and that's what growth will bring. Growth is a great thing, isn't it? But it has its challenges, and we see it right here today, this morning. The problem or main issue that they faced was the complaint from the Greek. The complaint was all about that we're being neglected. I mean, we have this food program, this distribution thing, but our widows are being neglected. They came and told us. I mean, imagine that. There's a complaint, and let's say as leaders, you decide, that's just people gossiping over there. Let's not even pay attention to that. That could have split the church in a heartbeat. I mean, as leaders, do not ignore a problem. Somebody's complaining, deal with that. You gotta go and find the root. So they came. So there was a complaint that came from the Greek-speaking people. Says our widows are being neglected in the daily distribution of food. In other words, what is this problem about? You're showing favor to that particular group. Now we have almost two different races in the church. You're showing favor to the white folks. You're showing favor to the And you see, like today, everybody wants to make it about race. It wasn't even today. It could have become a racial issue right here if they had not paid attention. Complaint arose. There it is. The Grecian Jews among them complain against them because our widows are being overlooked, neglected in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 apostles were the leaders of that church in Jerusalem. They gathered all the disciples together. So the apostles decided, you know, there's a problem. We have to deal with this right now. Because if we don't, something bad can happen. We might have, the church is split. And just let me just let you know, 150 years ago, churches split because the issue of music. And today you have a cappella churches. You know why? Because they could not agree whether you can have instruments in the church or not. And that was an issue 150 years ago, and they did not know how to resolve it. And still today, they don't even know how to resolve it. And we have two different churches. One, a cappella without instruments, because instruments belong to the devil, right? And then we have the other ones that we play. All because somebody, there was an issue. And why do you think we have so many Lutherans and Episcopalians? There was another issue in the Reformation, and people could not agree about whether you were saved by faith alone or something else. Always in the churches. If you wonder why we have so many groups, it's because there's been challenges, and as leaders in those days, we did not know how to handle those challenges, and we went with how we thought should be done. The first challenge right here they faced could have split the church. It could have become racial. And it could have stopped the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostles could have been distracted, and they were. Now we got to deal with issues. When we have a lot of issues in church, we cannot focus, we cannot move forward because we have to clean up and always like trying to revive and fix the issues. So that, and then now we can, that's what happens. They stop you. That's what Satan wants. They're distracting you. Let's just have people complain about the pews or the chairs or whatever so that people don't petty things. You see, the apostles realized, you know, we got to deal with this. And they said, well, let's gather all the disciples, the church together. You see, the apostles is what you and I might call as elders. They were the leaders of the church. When you hear that, now, when that church started, you don't hear the word elders. They didn't need elders. Why? Because the apostles were the leaders. The apostles are the elders. What they would do, they were the shepherds. They were the leaders. They were the preachers and teachers. And their responsibility would be the health, the spiritual health of that congregation. Now, this issue could have infiltrated. Could have been really make the congregation sick, spiritually speaking. So the apostles were responsible for the church in Jerusalem. They were teaching them about Jesus. And that's what you see in Acts 2:42. Everybody devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were the leaders. And as leaders, they needed to deal with this problem between widows, between two groups, two camps that we have the church. Two camps that made the church. Now, how did they handle the problem? The apostles did not ignore the issue. They moved into action. And this is how they did it. Look at verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. The apostles did not ignore the issue. They called the disciples together and said, we got to deal with this thing. Whatever problems or complaints a church might have when it comes to the leadership, we have to deal with it. You see, many of you know I didn't want to be a preacher because growing up in the preacher's atmosphere in the house, I saw what my dad had to deal with that. And I say, I never do it. I cannot, because people might love you for a while and the other time they reject you. You know what I mean? It's like, and I saw it. We lived it. And I just didn't want that for me. But you got to be careful when you say, I don't want to do certain things, because God say, I'm going to show you. You're going to, that's exactly what you're going to do. Now, I don't regret it. I thank God that he called me to do that. There's no issues that God cannot resolve. When you just bring him and present him to them, he's the Messiah. He can clean it up for you. So the apostles took action and said, let's go. This is what you guys need to do. They recognize, one of the first thing you see right here, they recognize that this could have distracted them from the main mission of preaching and teaching and praying. See, that's what they say, it would not be right for us to neglect our ministry, that's the word ministry, in order to do another ministry. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait or serve on tables. First, they identified their main priority. The priority of the apostle was teaching and preaching the Word of God. And they say, this is what they say, it's not right for us to forget about our ministry in order for us to do another one. You see, that's a common thing in a lot of churches, that they think they need to be involved in every ministry. You don't have to, because you're spread out too thin. The apostle said, our main job is to preach and teach and pray, and we're not going to neglect it in order to serve on table as well, to do the other ministry or the food distribution. That's too much for us to, and then they say, choose some people and put them in charge of that particular ministry. Maybe I need to define the word ministry for us this morning. See, the church was growing and more ministries were being developed. The apostles understood they could not do every ministry in the church. Preachers cannot do every ministry or service in the church. If you have a preacher, you expect them to do everything, you're not going to go anywhere. You're always going to stay small. You want the preacher to be involved in every activity under the... That's impossible. So the apostles understood that and said, you know, the church is growing. This more, now we have this thing, but how are we going to... Now, what is ministry? And this is what we need to have a clear understanding, some of you who take notes. Ministry is the word for service. It's the word diaconia, from where we get the word deacons. I have a tough time with some Bible versions, I'll be honest with you. Because in some Bible versions, they translate the deacons, and it made it sound like a title. Instead of translating minister or servant, because that's really what they are. In the Greek, diakonia, as you can look it up, that's the word for ministry. Who does ministry? A diakonos? A minister? Who does ministry? A servant. But sometimes we get it all, minister is only me, because I'm, really? Oh, he's the minister. Do you realize that all of you guys are ministers? You might not have the ministry of preaching and teaching, but you might be involved in another ministry. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Hopefully I don't want to get you confused, but I want you to understand that, biblically speaking, the whole idea of ministry and servant. Now, sometimes we think that, to be an elder is like a title, or to be a deacon, it's not a title. If you're a deacon, it's because you're already doing deaconess. You're doing ministry. So look at our verse. Verse 2, the first appearance of the word ministry, when the apostle says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. If you have a different translation, the word wait on table or serve on tables, I guarantee you, you look it up in the Greek, it's the same word, diakonia. Because serving on tables is also another ministry. The apostles say, it's not right for us to neglect our ministry of preaching to serve in the ministry of serving food. Or the ministry of we can call it food pantries. You see, a lot of churches, they have so many ministries all over. You know, there's youth ministers, children ministers, praise and worship ministry. And who does all that? The preacher? There are people in charge of that. And if they're in charge, you know what they call? You might not want to give them the title deacons, but that's exactly what they are. They are servant leaders. They are ministry leaders, because they are the ones in charge of those areas. Are you with me this morning? And if you don't think it's so, just go back. Go back, check it out right here. So a deacon is really a servant or minister who does the ministry. That's what. But some translation, like the NIV, I have a tough time sometimes because instead of translating deacons every time, in some areas it translates deacons, in other areas it translates servants. And if you don't know very well, you get confused because you have two different words. Or minister. And it's all because of the translation. So, I mean, the King James Version makes it sound like it's an office. Because they say, oh, that's the office of what? Really? You're doing it. If you're doing it, you are the minister. The apostles, their ministry was what? In our text, we already have two. Their ministry was what? Preaching and teaching the word of God. Now the church grew so much, there's another ministry developing. The food distribution. Who's going to handle that? And they said, select seven men to tackle, to be the ministry leaders, the servant leaders of that particular ministry in our church today. There are so many types of ministry in a church, or services. Ministry is the word for service. A minister is a servant, a minister is a deacon, a minister, that's what the word literally means. And there are different types of people in charge of those services or ministry. There's preaching, teaching, young adults, children ministry, music ministry, administrative ministry, hospitality. You know what I found out when I was doing the sermon? We do have more ministries than they have back then. Now, they have more persecution than they have. We have more things. They didn't have church building. Therefore, they didn't have to worry about the electricity and the heat and the heating thing because their church was done in somebody else's house. If they came to your house, you were the host. You prepare everything else. But today, we have a church building. We have to take care of the electricity, financial things. Who's going to handle that? Whoever handles those areas, you know what you and I should call them? Ministry leaders, servant leaders. That's the same word for deacons. They're handling. There's hospitality. I mean, we have people. Let me just give an example. Even in our church, we have hospitality. Who are those people? The one that check, always greeting people, making coffee so that when visitors come, there's always coffee made. Nobody told them, hey, they just do it. Now, we don't give them title, but you see, they're serving in that capacity. They're serving in that ministry. The moment they stop doing that, you're going to notice it. Whether they're doing it, whether you give them the title deacons or not, they are already being ministry leaders. Administration. We have people. We have some areas in our church. Nobody wants to do it. It's a financial thing. We have ladies doing that. Yeah, you might not want to give them the title deacons. They are already. Biblically speaking, they are. Because they're doing, there's Melissa, there's Melinda, Louis, and some other guy doing those things. Nobody else wants to do that because that's so complicated. If they didn't do it, then we wouldn't have a church here today. Have you ever thought about that? And that's the area in the church. You see, we have more areas in churches today than the first century had it. They had to deal with food distribution, but we had to deal with, legality in the government. In order for us to even have a building, there's so many things tax exemption things. Who's going to take care of that? Mowing the lawn, removing snow. We need ministry leaders to be in charge of those things. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's so many areas in the church, and the preacher cannot just do all of them. That's what the apostle says. Select some people and put them in charge of those, based on their abilities and giftedness, put them in charge of those areas. And we will handle, going back to our text, we will pay our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Verse 4. Verse 3, brother select, choose seven men from among you who are, this is the prerequisite, this is why they decide, let the congregation know what type of men they were looking for. Men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. They will handle that. They will take care of the food distribution, the food pantry ministry, that's their cup of tea, that's their area. Meanwhile, we're going to focus our entire attention to the ministry of the word. You see, two ministries emerged in the Jerusalem church. The first church that started in the book of Acts. The apostles understood that, like I said, they cannot neglect their ministry in order for them to be in one. A lot of times, people in church, if people do that, they think that they need to be involved in every ministry. You don't have to. Somebody else probably does a better job than you. Let him do it. We will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word, and then preaching, like I said, preaching, teaching, prayer. That was the apostles. The leaders don't have to do every ministry or service in the church. In fact, Ephesians 4, 11, 13 says that our job, really, the preachers and ministers' job, elders, in this case the apostles' job, will be to train people to do the work of service, to train people to do ministry. It's almost like my job is to work myself out of a job. Just training, like if something were to happen to me, that the church will continue to go. You see, churches that the guy retires, they had no idea what to do, because they were just so depending on that particular man, and they idolize him or her, and it's like now that he or she is gone, they have no idea how to operate. You have to put people in place. You see, I feel so happy when I go on vacation that I know that I don't have to hire another preacher, because somebody here can take care of the preaching while I'm gone. You know, and some churches don't even have that. Don't take it for granted. Don't take for granted what you have. We even have parking lot. In some churches in the New York City areas, you know, they don't have a parking lot. But we have to maintain the parking lot. Who's going to maintain it? There's another ministry area, maintenance in the church. There are people you call and they fix whatever is broken, because they have the expertise. You might not want to give them the title deacons, but that's exactly what they are. They're ministry leaders in those areas. Servant leaders, ministry leaders. The leaders, the apostles, was to train people to do the work of service. Now, what did they suggest to do? To select seven men to handle that responsibility. Men of good reputation. They were tested, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. It's not just anybody to handle the food distribution. They selected seven men, and Stephen and Philip were one of those selected to tackle or handle that ministry of the food distribution in the first century church in Jerusalem. The apostles would give their attention, they said, to prayer and the ministry of the word. We will attend constantly. The word there is persist in prayer and the preaching the gospel, and you guys handle that. Yes, the apostles still oversee. They check, how are things going? But somebody else is handling. I don't have to be in there, like, for things to run. You guys run with it. Perhaps in 2016, that's some new things in Staten Island Christian Church is hearing. Because, you know, if we want to move forward, we have to put those things in place. If Staten Island Christian Church wants to move forward in 2016 and from years to come, we have to get things in place now, because we're getting older and we might not be here tomorrow. And we need to understand who are the ministers, who are those people in charge. And my wife and I, we're working on a pamphlet so that we can nail down all the ministry, all the areas that we have that we did in 2015, and how we can do it better in 2016, and how to develop new ministries. Because people have been talking, like, how about the homeless people? But they come to me because probably they want me to start that ministry. Maybe that's your passion. Jesus needs us to back you up, and let's do it. You know how I came up to that? It was during that time we went to Lincoln. I was sitting in my bed with a notebook and pen, and I just began like listing out Staten Island Christian Church 2015. So many areas that some of you might not even know that we have those ministries out there. And just like, you know what? We need to get back to that, because you need to know what it is that we have. We need to know what it is, who's involved in so many areas. And you know, we're going to create, like I said, pamphlets. So anybody else who comes to church for the first time, they say like, oh, you have all those ministry, I can be there. And so it'd be easier for you to realize where you can be involved in so many of those ministry areas in Staten Island Christian Church 2016. New challenges, new year. So whatever the apostles proposed, the congregation liked, they selected those men. They selected Stephen. You know, Stephen just didn't do that. Remember, he also preached. In chapter 7, he died because he was preaching about Jesus. Well, he was also in charge of the food distribution. So he did other things too. You hear about Philip. Philip had four daughters who were preachers. He says they were prophetess. Philip also was an evangelist. He brought the gospel to Samaria and talked to a magician named... forgot the name of the Simon, the magician. And Philip preached to him in Samaria. So they just didn't do the food distribution. In Jerusalem, yes, they did it. But when they went out, they did other things too. And everything they did, that was called ministry. Because they were ministry leaders. They were servant leaders. There's Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. You never hear about those guys later on. Maybe they never left Jerusalem, but nonetheless, they were there. It's almost like this. If somebody came to church in Jerusalem, hey, we just moved into this community, and I realize you guys got this food distribution. Who's in charge of that? You know what the apostle would say? Talk to one of those guys, Philip or Stephen. Talk to them. They can give you all the information you want, and they're the ones responsible. The apostles didn't say, oh, we're in charge. Talk to them. You see, what do we learn here? The apostles were able to empower people for ministry. That's my job. That's my role, to help people, empower, to coach people to do ministry. Because I would not be doing ministry here forever. You have to get things in place. You see, let me give you an example. When I first came to this church, you know that we didn't even have a policy how to rent the building. We created that. Now, the church has been here 45 years, and you're telling me that nobody ever thought about that? Or maybe nobody ever came to Staten Island and said, like, how can we use... It's like, wow, there's so many things. But again, we need to create something like that. And now the building is being rented to some people, but we didn't have a policy in play. We have bylaws, but... So there's so many things. As we continue growing, more things will develop. More ministry. And somebody needs to be in charge. And we need to empower people based on their abilities and the skills to do those areas of ministry. And when you're doing ministry, who are you? A minister. When you're doing ministry, who are you? A servant or deacon or deaconess. This man, he says the word of God. They presented them to the apostles. The apostles prayed for them. That's what they did. And they laid their hands. It's almost like, we're commissioning church people. I just want to introduce this man. They're the ones in charge of the food distribution. Talk to them. If you have a question about that, talk to them. I mean, you see that in activities that we do, somebody's responsible for the food or this area. They're the one. You want to know what you need to bring? Talk to Marilyn or Barbara. They're always the one in charge. Or those, you know, don't talk to me. I don't know. Just bring food. I need to eat. But they can tell you what kind of dish to bring, because whether you want to give them the title or not, they're doing ministry in that hospitality area, hospitality ministry, because they know. And they're always like, oh, you know, doing things. The apostles prayed, laid their hands. What was the outcome of that? I mean, look what it says in verse 7. So the word of God continued. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. More people coming to God. Now priests. And you know what eventually they will have to deal with? With the whole idea of the law versus grace. Because now we have priests that were from Judaism into the church. And when you come to church, based on how you were raised, you bring that with you. And so it's like, eventually that was now developing to another problem, which happens in chapter 15. Check it out, of Acts. Now we have this thing like, oh, you're not really saved because you need to be circumcised. And they bring the law, more issues in the church. And somebody needed to handle those issues. So the outcome was awesome. The gospel continued to spread without hindrance. More people came to Jesus. Amen. When people come to Jesus, man, that's awesome. New people also were empowered to do ministry. The apostles were 12, and now there's 7 ministry leaders alongside of them to work in that church. God was pleased with in how they handled that conflict. God was pleased in how they handled that situation. And you see, he gave them the increase. The word of God spread. Satan, you did not distract us. In fact, now we have a better understanding what we need to do. Whatever that conflict you thought it was going to create, it was good that that happened, because now we have people in charge of all the ministry in the church. God was pleased. Now, my brothers and sisters, the church is going to face problems and difficulties in all times. In this time, this year, and in the years to come. Satan will continue to do anything in his power to distract you from the main ministries that you're already doing. Because he doesn't want you to do it. It's going to bring issues, challenges, conflict to distract you. New areas of service or ministry will emerge, and more challenges will come, and we need to be in place. We need to know how we're going to tackle those challenges so we don't spread out too thin. We don't know what to do. recognizing what ministry you're already doing and continue doing those ministries well. Now, every church may differ in the areas of ministry or service, like I said. If you're leading a ministry in this church today, you are a ministry leader. Don't let anybody else tell you differently. Go to the Word of God. You are a minister. You are a servant leader. That's the word that I want to start using in our church. You are a servant leader. When you are in charge of a specific area in your church, you are a minister of that area. You are a leader. You are a servant. And the word there is deacon. Because ministry is diakonia. A deacon is a diakonos. The same word. Minister, servant, leader. That's who you are. Like I said, I would like Staten Island Christian Church to use those words, because sometimes, you know, we're gonna have the election of like elders and deacons, and some of those deacons, yeah, we're gonna find things for them to do. They're gonna be plugged in, just like the seven. Like, you're gonna be in charge of those areas. You might be the main leader of those particular areas. You're not just gonna be deacons because somebody gave you a title. No, you're a deacon or a servant or a ministry because you are in charge of those areas. 2015, this is Staten Island. In 2015, some of the things that I came up with. We have educational ministry, and that involves adults, young adults, children. We have a great children's program that started not long ago. And, you know, it's like, so who's in charge of that? My wife started that, and now she's training other people to do those things. Now, you might not even know how many of the ladies and some of our young adults are teaching kids over there. And if you're teaching, who are they? Ministry leaders. They're teaching. The young adults, they develop this thing called clay. And they gather together. Somebody's leading those things. And when you're leading that group, you are a ministry leader. You are a servant leader. Because without you, that group would not even be around. We got hospitality. Like I said, those are the people in our church that, you know, when somebody new comes, Lola is big in that. Always like greeting them, hey, how you doing? You know, we're glad you're here. Making coffee. I mean, we got like Maryland also, and Barbara. Like, if I were to put names to some, I know already who's doing those type of, we're going to have this activity, you know, and we're going to have food involved. They don't even wait. They're already coming up with a list. Who's going to bring what? That's hospitality. The coffee's already made. Even the Costco's been doing some of the hospitality. They come early and they fix the communion thing already made. So, you know, when you're doing those things, that's the type of ministry. Nobody, you're involved in that ministry. Whether we want to give you the title or not, the Word of God already gave it to you because you are doing it and you are a ministry leader. Whether we want to call you that or not, you are serving in that capacity. Outreach, maintenance. I mean, you see Dante, Alex, I mean, sometimes like they're always fixing things. And something's broken. Who do you call? Not the Ghostbusters. You either call one of those people and they fix it up. You know, our maintenance, that has to do also with the beauty, the aesthetic of the building. You know, like I said, my wife and I are creating something so you can see with every detail, every area, even cutting the grass, removing snow. Those things in our church needs to be done. And who's going to do it? Outreach things. Some of the things you do that will portray outreach. And that's an area too. Now sometimes you think outreach is just in the church. Outreach is more like outside the church. And eventually we've been talking to people so that we can truly, truly do outreach. I'm just like, oh, let's call them to come. No, you go out there where people are and you do things for them. Again, like we're going to, each of those areas is going to be nailed down with different categories. So you get to see more what each ministry entails. And it's like, oh, that's what it means. I'm going to give you an example later on about the music ministry so you have an idea. Each of those administration, I do a lot of that, you know, like the mail, somebody answering the phone. I mean, if I don't answer, you know, who's going to answer then? Letters that come, I had to, the fire department comes, fire extinguisher. That's part of the administration, financial things. All those things are part of the administrative part of this church, and somebody is in charge. Somebody needs to do those things, because if we don't, we get in trouble with the law. And praise and worship music ministry, we might call it. Now, let me just give you an example of this one.
Because sometimes new people might come here and say, okay, I want to be part of the worship team, because all they see is that you guys get over here and sing and play. That's all they see. They don't realize what it takes for you guys to get over here and sing and do those things. So let me just break that one down for you. Next slide, Maddie. Well, here it is. So praise and worship team, we have worship leaders. Today, the example, DJ, I think he was leading. And so what he would do, he would talk once in a while. Kind of like, so if he was leading, do you have a problem with a young man leading us? He was leading worship today, wasn't he? And God equipped him to do that. Sometimes it's Melanie and Rachel. When they're leading there, they're being worship leaders. They're doing, that's part of their ministry, whether you want to admit it or not. They're leading us. They're helping us connect with God as they're preparing those songs. So DJ was the worship leader. So that kind of. So we have sound booth. Maddie was the only one back then, the sound booth today. And what the sound booth requires, you need to know about the sound system. You need to know about the PowerPoint. I'm being helped by him today. Sometimes it's Jared. So people realize, you know, I can help in that category. What can I do? So maybe I can just change the slide when you're preaching. If they didn't do that, I'd be handicapped. That also is a ministry area of this, what we call praise and worship ministry. Special coordinator, somebody who coordinates when we're going to do a special. Once a week, once a month, and so forth. Scheduling. You know who's doing the scheduling? She's not here with us. Karen. And you know how hard it is in Staten Island Christian Church to do a scheduling, because we have so many talents and abilities. And you know, someday you see this guy playing a drum, that he might be playing the guitar, because it's like this juggling. That's challenging. The challenges of the worship ministry that we have in Staten Island. So planning, my wife and I, we gather with them, with this group, and we talk about what we're going to do, planning, like, you know, to encourage them. How are things going in your ministry? What can we do to help it, to make it better? And you see some of our young adults, I mean, they stepped up to the challenge. And they probably tomorrow might be going to a church and be their leader, the worship leaders, because they're doing such a great job for the glory of God. But that requires sacrifices. So you want to be part of the praise team, you got to get up early in the morning and come practice at 9 o'clock. Then don't do it. See, 9 o'clock, they're here practicing on Sunday. Planning meetings. Oh, the instrumentalists, people that play. They're doing ministry. Like I said, next week you might have different musicians out there. But you see, that's their ministry. That's their areas. If you're doing ministry, you are a minister. You are a servant. Vocals. People that can sing. Now you find those areas and you plug people and they're doing that type of ministry. That's just the worship ministry in Staten Island. And I'm thinking I might be missing some things in here. Music filing. You see all this paper? Let's pretend that they just leave it running around for somebody else to pick up. We have a stack that we'll be filling the church in a year. Music filing, we came up with that. It's like, okay, guys, you got the music that we're going to sing today. When you're done, we have a filing system over there. Even that, somebody might go, I want to help. We got a job for you. And you don't need a talent even. All you need to do is to be able to get those papers alphabetical and put them in there. And by doing that, you know what you're doing? Ministry. I'm glad that we're getting that finally. So it's like, I mean, that somebody needs to be done. And our worship leaders, they know that sometimes they kind of get neglectful. And it's like, and pretty soon they have a stack. It's like, oop, we haven't filed in a while. DJ is smiling because, you know, we haven't filed in a while. And it's like, well, you see, they do that. You see, coming over here and doing leading worship, it's not just like with the music. There's so much that goes into that. Creating and updating the bulletin. Caring is doing that too. You know, my wife and I, we sent them an email, like, we want that to be in the bulletin. Matt also does it. And like, they're in charge of putting that, printing them out. Lola usually comes and gives them to you. When they do that, my brothers and sisters, they are doing ministry. They're ministry leaders. If they did not do that, I mean, someday they can say, you know, Lola's sick, or somebody, can somebody else step up and do it? I mean, you know, that's hospitality ministry right there. Those things are needed. Like I said, we have more ministries in the churches today in the 21st century than they had in the first century. And we need to empower people to be able to do those things. That's just an example of the worship
music, worship ministry. We're going to do the same with the other ones. The administrative, we're going to have those categories. Maintenance inside, maintenance outside. So many things. To be able to have a church functioning in America today that you have to put in place, and you may have no idea who's doing those things. And it's not just me. And so we're going to, by next week, when we get into the congregational meeting, I'm going to show you more. And, you know, the names of people that were doing those in 2015. And so maybe you're going to find an area in 2016. You realize, you know, I haven't been doing a lot, but I can get plugged in that ministry. So Staten Island has many areas of ministry. And if you're not involved right now, don't wait. Find an area. If you don't know which one, talk to one of us. Talk to me, and we get you plugged in somewhere. So you do ministry. So you do service for the glory of God. Now, growth is great, but with much growth comes great challenges. But the beauty of those challenges is, when I look back to the text, there was a conflict. There was a challenge in God's arena. A challenge becomes an opportunity for growth. In God's court, a challenge or a conflict becomes an opportunity for service. That's what you saw. Those people, out of that conflict, they empower people to do ministry. So whatever conflict, challenges we're going to face with God in our side, they will become opportunities for growth. They will become opportunity for service, to minister in different areas. So get ready to serve, minister this year, if you're not already doing so. And the Lord will continue to bless us. The final slide, Maddie, I think that's the one that I just said, that in God's, you know, God's so amazing. He made a world out of nothing. So if there's a challenge in His arena will become opportunity for you and I to grow. Opportunities for you and I to be able to minister and serve.